பிரியமானானி குணாய் கர்மணி சர்வஷஃ அஹங்கார விமூதாத்மா கர்தாஹம் இதி மன்யதே. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. In this beautiful verse from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna is explaining the root cause of all suffering, of all bondage and ignorance. What is the difference between truth and illusion? Krishna says in Gita that when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are but part of me, that they are in me, and that they are mine. Krishna is Ishvara, Parama Ishvara. He is the supreme controller. Every living being, to a certain extent, is Ishvara. We all have some power to control. The ant has the power to control perhaps one little grain of sugar. He considers that this is mine, and no one else should try to take it. And as the gradations go up, we find some human beings, they have their little shack, and they think that this is mine, and I am the controller of my abode. And then there are people who are very, very powerful, sometimes very big businessmen or big, big politicians, who have tremendous amount of power, tremendous sphere of control. Above them we find the devatas, the great demigods, Vayu, Indra, Surya, where they control massive, unbelievable affairs of this entire material universe. So there are so many Ishwaras. Each one of us is an Ishwara. We all consider ourselves the Lord of what we survey. But Lord Brahma explains, Ishwara Parama Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. That Krishna is not just Ishvara, he is Parama Ishvara. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suryate Sacharacharam Hetunani Nikonteya Jagadviparivaratate. That this entire material creation and everything and everyone in it is working under my direction, under my control. Truth is to know that Krishna is the controller and the doer, and he is the proprietor of everything that exists, Sarva Loka Maheshwara. An illusion, the basic, most fundamental principle of all bondage, is to think that I am the doer, I am the controller, and ultimately that I am the enjoyer. We should not be proud of what is given to us. We should be proud of who is giving it. We cannot see without the help of God. We cannot hear without the help of God. We cannot think. We cannot breathe. We cannot move. We could not survive for a moment with the help of Krishna. Nityau Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yovidatati Kaman. That there are so many eternal beings, but there is one whom everyone is subordinate to and whom everyone is depending on. To realize this, that I am simply an instrument in the hands of God. And I have the choice to be a good instrument or a bad instrument. And accordingly, we have to enjoy or suffer various karmic consequences. If we take the gifts of God and misuse it, then we fall under the three modes of material nature, tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna, and we have to enjoy or suffer the consequences. But if we take these blessed gifts of God that are given to us and use it in harmony with His will, which is the process of bhakti, then we are freed. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunya bhavarjuna nirvanvo nityashatushto niyogakshema atmavan. We transcend the three modes of material nature when we simply utilize the gifts of God in this humble spirit of service. So here Lord Sri Krishna is explaining that one who thinks that I am the doer, I am the controller, and I am the enjoyer, such a bewildered soul comes under the modes of material nature. And birth after birth after birth, they do not understand why they are suffering. It is so obvious. Krishna says in Gita, that time I am. And in the form of time, Krishna is controlling everything and everyone. Meticulously, whoever you are. Who cannot say that they are not controlled by time? Do you know that since we began our program this evening, you are now exactly 46 minutes closer to death? It is a fact. Where is that time gone? We're getting older. Krishna is so thorough that we can't see it happening until it happens. Time is so scrutinizing that little by little we are aging, and we can't see it happening moment by moment. We only see it after long durations of time. But the fact is, Ayur Haridivai Pungsham Udyan Astam Chayan Asho, that at every moment Krishna is controlling our destiny by taking away our life in the form of almighty time. And even if you can be so successful and conquer all your competitors, you cannot hold on. You cannot hold on to any of your acquisitions beyond your destined time. Krishna says in Gita that I am death personified. Mrityascha. And in death he shows us all that I am in control. You are subjected to my powers. A devotee of the Lord simply accepts the reality. And therefore such a soul takes credit for nothing, but gives all credit to God. That is the difference between material life and spiritual life. It's so simple. A materialist thinks, I deserve the credit for what I've done. And a transcendentalist understands the truth, that it is all by the grace of God. He is the doer. Even those great scholars and jnanis who know the scriptures so well, where do they have the brain to memorize? It's been given by God. The intelligence is given by God. The scriptures in which they're memorizing is given by God. Krishna cares nothing for your scholarship. Krishna cares nothing for your money. Krishna cares nothing for your power and influence. Because it's all His. And when you take the water from the Ganges and you say, Mother Ganges, please accept this water, you think Mother Ganges cares about that water? It's all hers. She'll survive whether you offer a pound full of water or not. But the fact that you're making a humble gesture of love and devotion, that means so much to Mother Ganges. The fact that we are humbly accepting Krishna as our Lord, and the fact that we are submitting whatever He gives us in His loving service, that is the pleasure that Krishna receives and He enjoys. We have all been created for Krishna's enjoyment. To simply admit that and live according to that principle is truth. To think that we are the enjoyer is illusion. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam daya partita shetasam vyavashayatmaka budhir samadho navadiyate. Those who are too much attached to this enjoying spirit, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, the determination for real bhakti cannot awaken in their heart. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna appeared in the most munificent, merciful, benevolent incarnation in this age of Kali, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And He showed us by His own example the proper principle of humility. He never declared Himself to be something great. He declared Himself to be insignificant. And that is our position. We are insignificant. To the degree we think we're something else, we are fallen from the truth. Our Guru Maharaj used to say that this Krishna consciousness movement is simply meant for the mudhas, for the foolish. Because if you don't accept that you're foolish, you cannot understand the truth. If we think I am very clever, I am very intelligent, I am very wise, I have a very high birth, I'm very fortunate, then you have no access to the truth. Only when we consider ourselves mudhas, fools, is the doors to truth open in our lives. And that is a fact. We find it in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was presenting wonderful, intellectual, logical arguments to Krishna why he should not fight. As long as Arjuna thinks that I know, what did Krishna say to him? Krishna remained silent. You cannot speak to a person who thinks they know and have any effect. It's a waste of time. And Krishna does not waste time. Krishna is time. And time is on His side. He knows that ultimately everyone must surrender to Him. It was when Arjuna completely humbled himself, considered himself a fool, that Krishna spoke. Karapanya dosa pahata svapava prishami tvam dharma samudacheha shishyestaste sarumam tvam papanam. That Krishna, I am so confused, I do not know what to do or what not to do. Please, I am your disciple. I am a soul surrendered unto you. Instruct me. And then Krishna smiled. Yes. Now you have come to the point where you can begin knowledge. Knowledge begins when you accept and admit that you are a fool. But in this material world, the ego is so vicious that we are all trying to present ourselves as very wonderful, very pious, very learned, very great. When we admit that we're fools, then we begin the path of knowledge. And what was the first words that Krishna spoke to Arjuna? He didn't flatter him. Asochanan vasochastvam pragyavaram shavashati katasama katasum cha nanu sochandipandita. He said, yes, Arjuna, you are correct. You are a fool. You're speaking all these learned words like you know everything, but you know nothing. And then he began to speak that beautiful, illustrious message of Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to personally demonstrate how we should feel ourselves and how we should present ourselves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Varanasi, he was leading beautiful Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Tens and thousands of people, the masses of people, were so attracted to his beautiful form and to his divine mercy that he had them all with their arms raised, dancing and chanting the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the innocent, common people of Kashi Dham were so blissful. They were making such wonderful spiritual progress. It was so joyous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing so beautifully, and everyone was dancing along with him, calling out the holy name of Krishna. But there was a class of men. They were all sannyasis, and they were extremely learned in the scriptures. They were Mayavad sannyasis, and they were led by one of the greatest scholars in all the earth, Prakashananda Saraswati. And he was thinking, not only was thinking, but he was speaking blasphemy against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That the ignorant fools, they are following this person. And he's supposed to be a sannyasi himself, but he is not a proper sannyasi. If he was a proper sannyasi, he would be here with us studying Vedanta. But what does he do? Like a sentimentalist, he just out in the streets dancing and chanting with all these foolish people. He's misleading them, and he's misleading himself. But we will not take him seriously, because we know what is Shastra and we know what is Siddhanta. And to the devotees, when they heard the words of Prakashananda Saraswati and his 10,000 followers, it brought tremendous pain to their hearts. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply did not care. These Mayavadi sannyasis, they feel that unless you're born in a Brahmin family, you have no right to even study Vedanta. And he is born of Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur's descendants. Therefore, he's a first-class Brahmin, this Lord Chaitanya, and he's also a sannyas who took from our own sampradaya, from Keshav Bharati. Why is he with all these low-class people chanting the holy names of Krishna? He's a disgrace to our sampradaya. And the devotees were coming to Lord Chaitanya and telling him that this is what Prakasananda Saraswati is saying. But he did not care. You can please some of the people some of the time, but you will never please all the people all the time. To please somebody means to displease someone else. That is the nature of this world. We have to live according to truth. We have to live in the honor and in the light of truth. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just went on with his chanting. And anyone who wanted to accept the supreme mercy of Harinam Kirtan, he was giving. But then he decided that I will show these Mayavadi sannyasis a good lesson. Let them know what is the real standard of Vedanta. So he was invited to take prasad in the assembly of all of these exalted souls. And Prakashananda Saraswati and his leaders were on a raised platform in a big hall. And Lord Chaitanya came in, and just at the doorway there was a place where everyone would wash their feet and then proceed into the hall. He washed his feet, and then he sat just at the place where the foot wash. And he knew that these people are very much attracted to the divine effulgence of the Lord. So he began to emanate the divine effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. And Prakashananda saw this, and he was very attracted. Such a brilliant, effulgent personality. And he said, Swamiji, please come sit with us. You are a sannyasi. You shouldn't be sitting in that low place. You should sit up in this high-level seat with us. And Lord Gauranga replied that, no. I am not fit to sit with you because you are all great learned scholars. I am just a very ordinary man. Better I sit here. This is my proper position. He spoke so sweetly and so genuinely humble that it was that humility that broke through the hard heart of Prakashananda. He became so soft. So humble is this man that he personally came to Lord Chaitanya, and with his own hands he took him and escorted him to the high seat. And then Prakashananda began to speak. Your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You are of our sampradaya. Why you are just in the streets dancing and chanting with all these sentimentalists? Why you're not here with us studying Vedanta? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that my Guru Maharaj, when I approached him to learn Vedanta, he told me that you are a fool. There's no use in you trying to study Vedanta. You'll never understand. It's too difficult. Just chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And my Gurudev gave me this particular mantra, and he also told me a sloka. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. That Srila Veda Vyas, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, he wrote his own commentary of the Vedanta Sutra, which is called the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the conclusion of the entire teachings of Bhagavatam is Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. That in this age of Kali, all knowledge And all transcendental realization is contained within the holy name of Krishna and the humble service to the Lord and His devotees. That is all that is required. You will learn everything. You will have the highest, most perfect realization just by humbly serving devotees and chanting Harinam. That is all that is required. You are too foolish to grasp the principles of Vedanta by any other way. So Lord Chaitanya said, you are all very great learned scholars, but I am a fool. And I must do what my Gurudev has said. If my Guru calls me a fool, I'm a fool. If my Guru tells me to chant Harinam, I chant Harinam. We must accept the order of Guru as our life and soul. Now this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a young man, he was the greatest scholar in all directions. He was a teacher of grammar in Navadvip Dham, and no one could defeat him. In those days, Navadvip was the high seat of learning in all of India, and the greatest scholars would come not for understanding of the highest truths, but simply for debate and argumentation to prove that I am better than you. And the greatest of all such debaters came to Navadvip. He had already conquered all the four directions of India, and he came to Navadvip last, just to make an exclamation point that I am the supreme magician and the supreme scholar. His name was Keshav Kashmiri. He was very elder and very senior. And at the time, Lord Chaitanya, who was Nimai Pandit, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he was only 16 years old, but a child. And he was just sitting on the bank of the Ganges with his students. And Keshav Kashmiri approached him. I want to debate you and I want to defeat you. I heard you're Nimai Pandit. You're supposed to be very learned. But I see that you're just a mere boy, a child, and a grammar teacher. And little Nimai, he replied, who am I to debate with you? You are such a great scholar. I'm but a child, inexperienced. Rather than debate you, I would like to hear your beautiful poetry that you're so famous for. Please glorify Mother Ganges. Keshav Kashmiri went into a trance, and he narrated 100 verses, beautiful verses, just from his mind that just flowed like the Ganges from his mouth in glorification of Mother Ganges. And everyone was struck with wonder. How could anyone compose such perfect, symmetric poetry with such deep meaning just within seconds? And Lord Chaitanya, after Keshav Kashmiri, was very proud. So, I have done. He said, there are many nice metaphorical qualities to your poetry, but there are also many mistakes. What do you mean mistakes? I never make mistakes. Where is their mistake? And he took one particular verse, he quoted it, and he just dissected it according to the principles of poetry and grammar and logic. And Keshav Kashmiri was stunned. He was speechless. He was utterly defeated. It was like a thunderbolt to the mountain of ego within him. Never before has he ever been challenged and had no answer, no defense. And all the children began laughing at him. And Lord Chaitanya said, do not laugh, please. Anyways, that night, the goddess Saraswati appeared to him and said, you have worshipped me all your life, but that Nimai Pandit is none different than Krishna, who is my worshipable Lord. Whatever you have gotten from me, I have gotten from him. Now you have been suitably humbled. Now you have been humiliated. Now your whole reputation has been disgraced. And that is the mercy of the Lord, because only now is your heart open to surrender to God and understand the truth. And Keshav Kashmiri the next day came to Nimai and surrendered his life and begged forgiveness. And Nimai gave his blessings. So such a great scholar, and yet he's presenting himself before Prakashananda as a fool, unqualified to learn the scriptures. And then, after discussing like this, that I'm such a fool, I only know to chant Hare Krishna. And these people out there, they are like me, they are simple people, all they know is to chant Hare Krishna. I am not fit to be amongst all of you great scholars. And then Prakashananda Saraswati challenged him to a certain philosophical debate. And Lord Chaitanya, with great humility and simplicity, totally tore to pieces all the arguments of Prakashananda and his 10,000 followers, and they were speechless. He explained Vedanta in such a way that they had never heard before. And Prakashananda realized that only God himself can give such an explanation. And if he says that he's a fool, then what is our position? So they all went outside with Lord Chaitanya, and they all began to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And giving up all their sense of high birth, high learning, all their prestige, they were simply dancing with their arms raised, chanting the holy names amongst all the simple, ordinary people of Kashi. And Lord Chaitanya, you lose your reputation for this. You should go inside. In this way, everyone in Varanasi became wonderful devotees of the Lord, simple, humble servants chanting the holy names. What is the qualification for one to speak the absolute truth? Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, used to say like this. So often he would say, I have no qualification. He said, I cannot produce gold with my hands. I cannot produce ashes. He said, I cannot read people's minds. He said, I cannot juggle words in such a way just to be able to convince anybody of anything. I have none of such qualifications. He said, I only have one qualification. That I am simply repeating what my Guru Maharaj and his Guru Maharaj has said. I am simply repeating the truth as it is. Guru Maharaj said, I'm too foolish to try to meddle with the truth. I simply present it. And those who are sincere will receive it. And it is true. He was so simple, so gentle, so kind, so humble, just presenting. He said, I do not have any intelligence to adulterate what my Gurudev and what Krishna has given me. How can I do such a thing? Simply present what I have heard through my life, through my teachings. This is parampara. This is the way in which the actual truth of self-realization comes to us. Only by those most humble servitors who in a totally unadulterated form present what they have heard through the disciplic succession, is the real truth available to us? And those who are really sincere, they will be attracted to that. Not that we have to be, if we have the capacity to be great scholars, we present this truth according to that capacity. If we don't, it's not a disqualification. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of all of his associates, so many learned Brahmins, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, such a scholar, Ramananda Rai, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, of all of them, he chose as his leading Namacharya Haridas Thakur, who was born of an untouchable family, and really who had no education. He had no educational qualifications at all. But he had complete faith in the name of Krishna. He had complete faith that simply by taking shelter of Krishna's name, you can attain perfection. And Mahaprabhu made him his supremest preacher. Namacharya Haridas Thakur. And he was learned, but not by educational qualifications, by his humility and his devotion. He simply repeated with all simplicity the word of God. This is Krishna consciousness. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, which are in actuality carried out by nature. So the true access to the absolute truth, the true access to liberation from the bondage of suffering is to present oneself before God and present oneself before God's creation as a humble servant, utterly dependent on the gifts and the grace of God and Guru. So simple. And so sublime. Why speculate? Simply accept the truth. And in this age of Kali, what is the highest truth? Kaler dosanide rajan astiheka mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. That the supreme absolute truth has descended in his name. And by learning the process of properly chanting the name of God, we can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. We see it all around us. It is an ocean of faults because people have become so impious. So many sinful activities, even in the name of religion. Massive. So much cow slaughter by the millions every year. Krishna has given us the Mother Earth, and we are drenching her with the blood of the cow. How dear is the cow to Mother Earth? We know that when Mother Earth was being exploited by demons like Kamsa, she appeared in the form of a cow to approach Lord Brahma on her behalf to petition Krishna. Lord Brahma is the original spiritual master of this creation. She humbled herself in the form of a cow, approached Guru to approach Krishna on her behalf. This is the process. And similarly, when Prithu Maharaj was angry with the earth for withholding her opulences, she took the form of a cow to run away. Huh? And the son of the cow is the oxen. And throughout history, the natural process of growing grains is to use the son of the cow, the oxen, to plow the fields. And Mother Cow takes the simple grass which grows from the earth and provides the miracle food of milk. From that milk comes ghee, which is required for all sacrifices of the Brahmins. How dear and intimate is the connection between the cow and the earth. And we are taking the cow, this human society, and just billions of gallons of their blood we're just throwing into the earth. What to speak of abortion and illicit sex, rampant in the world today, and the beautiful, choicest, most fertile soils of the earth. We're using it to grow opium and grains for alcohol and marijuana and tobacco leaves and tea leaves. Useless intoxicants. Instead of growing food grains to offer to God and to maintain and preserve human society. The age of Kali is the age of exploitation and irreligion. Without proper sacrifice, karmic reactions will come. The earth strikes back due to our karmic situation. And therefore, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults. There's so much immorality. There's so much dishonesty, duplicity. There's droughts and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes rampant. And as the age of Kali goes on and people become more degraded, these karmic reactions become more and more and more rampant. There's only one benediction in this age of Kali, that the Lord has descended in His name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. That anyone who in this predicament of Kali Yuga, who chants the holy name of the Lord, can attain the perfection of liberation. Our Gurudev used to say, there is only one safe place in all of this world, wherever the devotees are coming together to chant Hari Kirtan. Because whatever happens, there's no problem. If you live, you live in joy with Krishna. If you die, you go back to Godhead. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. So dangerous is this age of Kali Yuga. Whoever you may be, even the President of the United States of America, with all of his security guards and with all of his armies, Marines, Air Force, Navies, if an earthquake comes in Washington, D.C., he has no chance to survive. Doesn't matter who we are. In Kali Yuga, earthquake can come anywhere at any time. And it doesn't matter what you do to protect yourself. You're finished. And that's just one out of so many ways that material nature is causing distress in this age of Kali. Padam padam yadvi padam natesha. The great sages worship Kali Yuga, it is described in Bhagavatam, because in Kali Yuga, people have a very good understanding that there's danger at every step, and I really cannot protect myself. And therefore, the most intense and urgent need to take shelter of the holy name is in this age of Kali. Or Yuga, or Treta Yuga? Of course not. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarvashati tatrapita samita smaranena kala. That Krishna has empowered all of his power in his name eternally. So why is the name of Krishna so special in Kali Yuga? Because people are in such a predicament of danger and distress in this age of Kali that they are more inclined to take shelter of the name of Krishna. In a helpless state of mind, Trinarapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. The age of Kali is the age where people are humbled enough by the circumstances around them, either today or tomorrow, by which they really seek shelter of Krishna's name as their only refuge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And real compassion means for the body, the mind, and the soul. People who are in distress, we must help them according to our capacity. But the greatest gift, the greatest charity, is to give them relief from all distress forever. And the key to that great mystery is in Krishna's name. So let us not be bewildered under the illusion that I am the doer of my activities, that I am intelligent, that I am learned, that I am wealthy, that I am expert, that I am handsome or beautiful. Let us accept the fact that all these qualities belong to Krishna. And by his causeless supreme mercy, he is sharing a little fraction of it with me. He is letting me be an instrument in his hands. And let us give all credit to Krishna. And the process of giving all credit to Krishna is very simple. By chanting his holy name in a mood of humble servitude. By associating with Krishna's devotees. By the satsang of sadhus. By hearing Krishna Katha, by living pure life, charitable life, and by chanting Krishna's name, we can all attain the perfection of life. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes?
When a person is very successful in his business or also very educated, he already develops some kind of an ego that he is, by his efforts, that he is successful today. And what you are telling, that our attitude should be that we should feel that we are a fool number one spiritually. So living a practical life that I am the doer and thinking oneself that I am a fool spiritually, how can one develop that consciousness that I am a fool number one, when especially everything around him is because he is thinking that he is doing?
By associating with sincere and advanced devotees of the Lord. But we have to learn how to associate. Advidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya. If we're submissive before great personalities, great devotees of the Lord, then naturally this information of the truth affects our life. But if we're too proud to humbly associate with sincere and simple-minded devotees, then it is impossible. You will simply be controlled by your own ego. And you will make no spiritual progress. You may become very famous in the eyes of men, but you will make no spiritual progress. Impossible. Without humbling yourself before sadhus, true devotees of the Lord. Queen Kunti has prayed, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madakuman, that the four greatest material qualifications are the four greatest disqualifications for spiritual life. What are the four greatest material qualifications? A high birth, good education, physical beauty, and wealth. They make you proud. They're your worst enemies. Unless you use them all under the guidance of great personalities in the humble service of the Lord, then they all become great assets. But when we have any of these qualities, we should know that it's very dangerous. We have to very meticulously not become infatuated by them, but understand they are not mine. They are Krishna's. And I cannot exploit them or try to enjoy them, but I must use them for Krishna. Wealth can be used so wonderfully in Krishna's service if we're humble. But if we're proud, that wealth is our destruction. We're attached to it. We can't give it up. Bhagavatam says, when you're drowning in the ocean and you have a beautiful golden crown on your head, you sink faster than ever. We're drowning in the ocean. Attachment to our material qualities and pride. It is Maya's allurement. Pride is the most difficult of all things to overcome. Even if you renounce everything of this world, become perfectly celibate monk, fast, practically give up eating, giving up sleeping, then you start thinking, I am more advanced than anyone else. Look at, they are eating, I am not eating. They are sleeping, I am not sleeping. They are having families, I am a perfect celibate. Huh? Better to eat, sleep, and have a family than to be proud. Huh? It's the beginning and then the end of our downfall. And humility is the beginning and the end of our connection to Krishna. Yes?
If you are very humble, people think you are very inferior. And then inferiority complex or any sort of complex may get into you. How to avoid that?
Because we are proud of Krishna. If you're proud of Krishna, you should feel inferior to Krishna. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna. If we're thinking of everyone else and I'm inferior, that's a miserable situation. But if we're thinking of Krishna thinking we're inferior, that is wonderful. Krishna, I am yours. I am a baby in your hands, Krishna. The secret to overcoming that is to be thinking of Krishna. We are not concerned, we are inferior to Krishna, eternally. But do you know something? When you have that consciousness, Krishna becomes inferior to you. Krishna reciprocates with your love. One who feels themselves completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna and surrenders all in all to Krishna, Krishna becomes subordinate to that devotee's love. Krishna becomes the servant of such a great devotee. But a devotee never thinks like that. Krishna will always protect his devotee. It is not a question of inferiority or complex in the material sense. It is simply a question of recognizing that everything I have is Krishna's. I have nothing to be proud of except that Krishna is so wonderful. He's letting me use this all for him. Huh? Inferiority complex in the material sense is pride. It's not humility. It's totally opposite. In the material sense, what you're saying is an inferiority complex is nothing but false ego. It means I'm the doer, I'm the proprietor, I'm the enjoyer, and I have less than everybody else, so I'm inferior. It's just wounded pride. Wounded ahankar. But humility is not like that at all. There's no question of inferiority complex when you're humble, because you understand everything is Krishna's. I'm his servant eternally. And better than serving him is being the servant of the servant of the servant of his servant eternally. That gives one courage and life.
Maharaj, sometimes we have superiority complex also. Just like
security complex?
Superiority complex. Yeah. Just like, see, when we get national award, I hope my friend will not get. I'm just, he's working there from TIFF, Tata Institute of Fundamental Research, a professor. Now, suppose today's society, people are doing working for the government, but if government is exploiting and they are doing certain research and they are getting certain awards, the government is paying salary. But actually speaking, you know, the research work which they are doing, we don't know how they are going to use it. So in that situation, as you say, that we should do everything in the service of the Lord, how a person can do everything in the service of the Lord?
By taking the fruits of your actions and using it in the service of the Lord. If you get some fame or some dignity by your work, then let people know that it is because of Krishna. It is because that I am his servant that I have done this. And if we get some credibility, we use that credibility for Krishna. If people listen to us, let us tell them this is the truth. If people see that we're a devotee, they feel, oh, just see how qualified these devotees are. It gives credit to Krishna. If we get money, let us use it for a worthy cause, not for our own selfish ambition. Let us use it to propagate the will of God in this world. It is not a question, as long as we're living a moral life in our service, in our business, or what profession. It is not a question of simply what we do. The question of what we do with the fruits that we receive from what we've done. Are we using it for exploitative purposes, or are we using it for the benefit of humanity in the service of God? This makes everything spiritualized. Because after all, whatever qualities that we have to get an award or whatever, it's been given by Krishna. And whatever we receive in return, we owe it to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. It is very simple. And it is natural. If you have even a slight speck of love of God in your heart, it becomes natural to do this. And how to awaken that love of God in our heart? That is the question. And the answer is by chanting His name, by associating with His devotees, by living a very pure life. Yes?
Maharaj, for example, if there is a scientist who is expert in defense research, I mean, he's making armaments or something like that. Now, if bombs and things of that sort. Now, if his knowledge is used by the country concerned to destroy the enemy, what would that be considered? Would that be considered as a in the service of the Lord, or would it be? I mean, if you go to see, he will be a nationalist and he would be helping the country to overcome the enemies. Would that be service in the Lord, or would it be against the service of the Lord?
It depends on if the country is defending the principles of Dharma or if they're simply defending the principles of materialistic nationalism. If they're defending the principles of Dharma, it is the service of the Lord. If they're simply politicians who care nothing for Dharma, but just trying to protect certain national boundaries for nationalistic and materialistic reasons, then it's simply karma. Simply karmic activity. Huh? But if a person is in that predicament, what to do? By chanting God's name, by associating with saintly persons, by taking the fruits of activities and using it for the welfare of others, we could neutralize that karma and spiritualize our lives. But we cannot do sinful things and think that we can neutralize our karma. That is an offense to the holy name. But if somehow or other we are in a predicament where to survive, where we really have very little choice but to do our work, huh? A person that you're speaking of, if he were to try to retire, he would probably be imprisoned. Huh? So what can you do? You chant God's name. You associate with God's devotees. In your personal life, you live very purely, very morally. And as far as possible, you should try to dedicate your activities, your profession, and your service for that which will cause actual welfare to others. But if unavoidably your superiors exploit what you have done, then you just have to pray to Krishna and leave the rest to Him. After all, Bhishma and Drona, their services were being exploited and misused too. But still Bhishma went back to Godhead, because he was obliged to be in the position of Duryodhana, even though he was exploiting all of his skills for the wrong purpose. He really had no choice, but he still attained perfection because of his faith and devotion to Krishna.
My humble submission is that in a situation where there is a conflict somewhere between the devotees as against the other devotees for a particular cause, would it still be considered as a service to the Lord when it results in lot of bloodshed, lot of things which are undesirable? They want to achieve something which they are determined to, but eventually, as you rightly said, politicians, they probably object it. In that situation, should they go ahead with the determination that it is still the service of the Lord, or they should mold their
Can you be more specific?
Well, the recent 6th December 1992. It's a very specific question. The other is more like an explanation.
We are speaking about the riots.
Riots that happened after the Ayodhya episode.
Has nothing to do with religion.
But is that a service of the Lord still? The
has
way
nothing
has
to do. The riots themselves have nothing to do with service of the Lord. The riots themselves had to do simply with greed and politics. Has nothing to do with religion. There may have been certain social motivations for social security, that if we don't strike them, they'll strike us and all of that, but it has nothing to do with spiritual principles. It's simply like the animals in jungles just surviving for survival. For ambitions, material ambitions. We cannot, this is not religion.
Cannot be termed as a service to the Lord, the objective with which they went to that place.
If you're defending, that is service of the Lord. But if you are aggressive toward innocent people, that is simply utterly karmic activity. It is such activities that destroy the good name of God and religion in this world. Politicians manipulate the innocent masses for their own political purposes. It's based on proprietorship of land and ego. It has nothing to do with God. You can do anything in the name of God. Is it being guided by bona fide spiritual masters who are gentle, kind, humble, and loving? Or is it being guided by ruthless politicians in the name of religious leaders? And generally, it's not even any of them. It's just people just out of anger and envy and fear. Religious activities are performed in devotion and love. To defend the principles of Dharma is religion. You have to evaluate yourself. Was there the defense of the principles of Dharma? To the extent there is, it is religion. To the extent there's any other motive, it's simply material karmic activity. Therefore, we cannot support such things.
One more, clarification. In your speech, you refer to Pandit Kashmiri. Probably it was Keshav Bhatt, isn't it? So I think there were two brothers, Madhav Bhatt and Keshav Bhatt. One was devotee of Mahaprabhu Vallabhacharya. The other was devotee to what you said, Chaitanya. Is there a principal line of difference between the two concepts, because they were contemporary? Mahaprabhu Vallabhacharya.
No, there was one. Keshav Kashmiri went to the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya of Vallabhacharya, and there he received Diksha. It was the same Keshav Kashmiri that surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As far as difference between the Sampradaya, essentially they are the same. Essentially they are one and the same. But in principle, on a very high platform, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship the Lord in Madhurya Ras as the lover and the beloved, and the followers of Vallabhacharya put more emphasis on Vatsalya Ras, loving the Lord as your child. But essentially, Sri Krishna Sharanamam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, both Vallabhacharya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were dear friends and intimate associates, they both taught that devotion and surrender to Krishna is the highest principle of all the Vedas, and that by chanting the holy names and performing seva, it is the only means. So there is no conflict whatsoever. They harmonize beautifully. But for certain details there is various emphasis. But we must understand that they are both coming from authorized and pure Vaishnava sampradayas. They are both teaching surrender to Krishna.
If everybody chants the holy name of Krishna in this Kali Yuga, there will be a change in the Kali Yuga?
If everyone chants?
Yeah.
If everyone chants, it will not be Kali Yuga. That will be Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So the more people that chant, the more we could create Krishna's Vaikuntha in this world. And it begins with you. So now let us invoke the divine presence of the spiritual world by chanting the holy names. Everyone, please rise. Sri Kardama Muniji will teach you the process in which Lord Chaitanya gave us to very gracefully dance, to offer our bodies, our minds, and our souls to the Lord as we call out His holy name. So in this process of dancing along with the chanting, when Maharaj is singing, at that time we should simply humble ourselves before the holy name with folded hands in this posture, in this mudra, allowing the name of the Lord to enter through our ears into the core of our heart. And in this way, we receive the holy name just like we would receive a guest with folded palms. And then when we chant in response, then we put both our hands up in the air and we cry out for the mercy of the Lord, just like Draupadi cried out to Krishna. And while doing this, we can gently and very gracefully move our legs, the left leg towards the right and the right leg towards the left. It would be nice if all of us can do all of the activities in synchronism, so that it is for the pleasure of Nitai Gaurachandra, Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda.